Good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again in this new year. Isn't that amazing? Hadn't talked to you since last year. Isn't it amazing? Well, I guess it was on the first, wasn't it? It was on Sunday this year. But it's glad to be with you once again. We hope that God has blessed you through all the holiday seasons and celebrating Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior. And in this new year, I hope this is going to be a better year for you. We pray that it's going to be a better year for our Lord's kingdom and for our churches. We pray that we'll see God work a mighty work. Wasn't it great to see a good time of awakening and revival take place across our nation? Well, we know that's possible, but we're going to have to let it begin in us and begin in our churches. So we're just so glad to be with you this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for once again for bringing us into another year. And Lord, as we look to 2023, we look to it with great anticipation and excitement about, Lord, what we know you can do and what you will do. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning for this opportunity to share your word. We pray, Lord, that you will bless the reading of it and expounding upon it, that, Lord, that you'll anoint me with your Holy Spirit, that you'll cleanse me of my sin and my unrighteousness, Lord. I know I disappoint you so many times, but, Lord, speak through me this morning, bind Satan, that he'll not be able to steal what you have for us today in any way or distract us, that Jesus can always be uplifted, that if there's one lost, that they would come to know you today as their Lord and Savior. I pray for my listeners today, Lord. Some may be at home sick. Some may be shut in. We pray for their needs. We pray, Lord, that you will heal them, those that are sick, that they can soon be up and about. We pray, Lord, for those that may be traveling this morning, may be listening in their car, give them safe journey to and from. But, Lord, we pray as we gather in your house and as we worship you that you will be in our midst always, not to let your word return into your void. But, Lord, we pray that people will respond to it today in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. All right, this morning, if you will, turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 8 this morning. In Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 8. Revelation chapter 1. This morning we want to think about, he came once, he's coming again. Now, we just celebrated at Christmas. We went through that Christmas season where we all celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we like to think about that baby Jesus in the manger. We like to think about the giving of the presents. And it's just kind of a happy time and a good time that we celebrate and that we enjoy. But we know that just that Jesus that came as that baby, we know that he is coming again. So let's read what he says here in Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angels and his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John the seventh to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before this throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and with every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And he saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. You know, this morning as we read, as Paul, and I'm trying to get back at Paul, aren't I? But we're thinking about John being on that Isle of Patmos this morning as he receives this vision of revelation. You know, oftentimes we like to say revelations, but this is a revelation unto John. He says that God himself pours out this revelation of Jesus Christ that he gives to John through the voice of the angel and the guidance of the angels. He carries John through all these visions and all these things that John's going to see as he goes up in the spirit and to the thrones and things that he sees. And you've read Revelation, you've studied Revelation, you know that it is what a scripture of things that is to come. But I love what he says here. He says these things are what are at hand. The time is at hand. And he's writing to who? To the seven churches. Now, I know we've done a lot of sermons on the seven churches and different churches within those seven churches. But this morning, we want to think about how that he is, he was, and he is to come. Or he was, he is, and he is to come. No matter how, what sequence, sometimes they change it around from he is, he was, and then he is to come. Or he was, now he is, and then he is to come. But the last one is, well, he is to come. He is to come. You know, in Acts chapter 1 there, we find in verse 11, you remember the story of Jesus' ascension, and as he's standing there talking to his disciples and telling them how that they're going to receive power from on high, they're going to receive that Holy Spirit, and how that they're going to be his witnesses into all the earth, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all the parts of the earth. And as they're standing there, listening to his final words, to what we call that, what, great commission that he gives. We call it in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that great commission that they were standing there, the disciples were there, he began to ascend into heaven, and he ascended up into heaven and went out of sight. And the angel said to him, what? Said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? For that same Jesus that just ascended into heaven, that same Jesus is coming back. Well, brothers and sisters, this morning, he came once, and he's coming again. There's no doubt upon it. When we see all of the prophecies, and we went through those, if you have been with us over the last four so weeks, you know, we covered the prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament, and how that it was prophesied about his coming, it's prophesied about his death, and brothers and sisters, it's prophesied that he's coming again. And that same Jesus who was in heaven, he came to this earth, he died on the cross, he ascended back to heaven, he is alive and well, and he's with us in the Holy Spirit, he is coming back. And this is what John begins with. He talks about how that Jesus is coming. Look at that verse 7 once again. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also that pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Here we see that he is telling us Jesus is coming again. He's coming in the clouds. And when he comes in the clouds, what's going to happen? He says every eye is going to see him. Everybody's going to see him. And when everybody sees him, what's going to happen? He says those that pierced him, even they're going to see him. And there's going to be great mourning because so many in the world, brothers and sisters, are not ready. So many in the world are not ready for his coming. You know, as I go through my walks of life, I tell people all the time, I said, are you ready? You know Jesus is coming again. Do you know he's coming again? You know, I had a telemarketer call me not long ago. And I was sitting there, and this telemarketer calls, and they said, can we speak to the head of the household? Can we speak to the head of the household? And I said, well, the head of the household is not here right now. His name is Jesus Christ, but he's coming, and he's coming soon. Are you ready? And I mean, the line got quiet. I mean, there was no sound. And in a few minutes, the lady said, could you repeat that? I said, well, the head of the household is not here right now because he's Jesus Christ, but he is coming, and he's coming soon. Are you ready? And she said, well, thank you, and hung up. You know, brothers and sisters, I get all kind of remarks when I talk about people about Jesus' coming. Some people say, man, you're right. And some people say, oh, praise the Lord. I can't wait till he comes. I'm just ready. for him to come. And then some people will look at me and say, what are you even talking about? I don't believe in that stuff. I've had people tell me, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. I don't talk about that kind of stuff. Well, brothers and sisters, you better talk about it, because just as he came the first time, he is coming again. And in this revelation here of John, we see that he is telling us what? That the time is at hand, that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is going to come in the clouds, and every eye is going to see him, and people are going to mourn it because they are not ready. So I want us to think about that this morning in our message, and I want us to look at several things that I'm sure you have heard before. First of all, we're going to see that it's going to be a surprise to a lot of people. It's going to be a surprise to all of us, even though we know it's coming. Even we that believe, it's going to come when we least expect it. It's going to be a revelation to so many. Their eyes are going to behold him. It's going to be a time of judgment when he comes again. We're going to see that he's going to judge when he comes. It's going to be a time of mourning, a time of mourning for so many people. And then lastly, it will be a time of rejoicing as well for those that are ready. So let's just think about those five things this morning as we think about he came once and he's coming again. The first thing that we say is what? Is that it will be a surprise to a lot of people. He is and he was and he is to come. He was, he is, and he is to come. You know, we're told in God's word in Matthew chapter 23, verse 36, he says that no man knows the hour. No man, not even the angels in heaven, only God himself knows when Jesus is going to come. The Bible talks about as it was in the day of Noah, when we least expect it. You know, Noah been building this big ark for over 120 years, and people coming by, and Noah preaching to them and saying, you better get ready, there's a great flood coming. Listen, we've been preaching, telling people, Jesus is coming again. You better get ready. You better get ready. And it said it's going to be just like it was in the day of Noah, that people are going to be marrying, giving in marriage, eating and drinking and being married. They're going to be living their lives. They're going to be saying, we're going to enjoy life. We don't have anything to worry about. And then, boom, Jesus is going to come. He's going to come when people don't know, when people least expect. He says in Matthew 25, verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour that the Son of Man is going to come. Now, in that Matthew chapter 25 at verse 13, if you look before that, beginning there in the beginning of Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 12, we see that he gives a parable of what? 10 virgins. And he talks about how that these 10 virgins are waiting upon the bridegroom to come. Five of them were ready. Five of them had extra oil and had their extra wicks, and they had their lamps ready, and they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. But the bridegroom did what? He tarried in his coming. And the five unwise, the five foolish, it says, virgins were not ready. And so when they hear the sound that the bridegroom is coming, guess what? They didn't have enough oil. They couldn't get their lamps. Their lamps had gone out. Their wicks had burned up. And so they said to the wise one, they said, give us part of yours. And they said, we can't give you ours, or we won't have enough. We can't do it. Listen, I can't get saved for somebody else. I can't be prepared for somebody else. I can tell other people to be prepared. I can tell other people, you better get you some more oil, or you better get you some more wicks. I can tell them, but I can't do it for them. And what happens? They go to get more oil and get more wicks, and while they're gone, the bridegroom comes, and he goes in with the five wise, and he shuts the door. And when the five foolish ones return, what happened? He had already shut the door, and they beat on the door. What did he say? I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know you. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. It's going to be a surprise when he comes, just like those. He talks about in the last part. You begin over in verse 14 through the end of that chapter 25, and he talks about the talents, how that the master comes and he gives out the talents to his servants. And it says he goes into a car country, and then what happens? He comes back when they're not expecting, and he calls them before him. And he says, okay, what did you do with your five talents? Well, I gained five. What did you do with two? I gained two more. He gets to the one. What did you do? Well, I went and hid mine. I didn't use mine because I was afraid, because I knew what kind of man you were. Listen, Jesus is coming back. Don't let it catch you by surprise. Don't let you yourself become that foolish virgin. Don't let yourself become that unwise servant of His that's not using what He has given you, that is wasting your life, hiding it, what God has given you, instead of putting it out and using it for the Lord. He is coming back, and it's going to surprise a lot of people when He does. Well, let's look at the second thing. The second thing I said was it's going to be a revelation. It's going to be a revelation. We'll look at verse 7 once again, and what did it say? And every eye shall see Him. Now, what does this mean? Every eye is going to see Him. It's not that you're just going to see Him, but brothers and sisters, you're going to see Him for who He really is. You're going to see Him that He is truly the Messiah of the world, that He is truly the Savior of the world, that He is truly God incarnate, as we like to talk about at Christmas, that He is truly the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You know, there are so many who don't see Jesus for who He really is today. You know, it's sad. You can go to Israel and you can talk to those people in Israel, those that are not Christians, you know, and what's so sad about it is you'll have guides and stuff that you can tell you every kind of scripture verse. They can quote the scripture. They know the Bible backwards and forward. They know history backwards and forward. And then you can ask them, well, who is Jesus? And they'll say, well, He was a good prophet. He was just a good prophet. He was a good man. You know, you ask people today, do you believe in Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Well, He was just a prophet, or He was a good man. And brothers and sisters, they don't see Jesus for who He is. But listen to me. When Jesus comes again, every eye is going to see Him. Every eye is going to see Him for who He is. They're going to see that He is the Messiah. They're going to see Him that He is the Savior of the world. And they're going to see themselves as a sinner that needed salvation. But guess what? It's going to be too late, brothers and sisters. It's going to be too late. When He comes in those clouds and He comes with His angels, it's going to be too late for you to decide then who He really is. Matter of fact, He says in Romans chapter 14, verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to Me, and every tongue will confess to God. Every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess that what? To God, that Jesus is Lord. They're going to bow before Him, and they're going to confess it. And no longer are you going to be able to deny it. No longer are you going to say, well, you know, like an ostrich just living with your head stuck in the sand, saying, you know, well, I don't believe it, and there's nothing any to it, and I'm not worried about it. It doesn't make any difference. Yes, it makes a difference. Yes, it makes a difference, because it's going to be revealed unto you one day in a way that you won't be able to deny it. You won't be able to say He's not the Savior of the world. You won't be able to say He's not the Christ, because, brothers and sisters, you're going to be standing before Him. You're going to see Him coming in those clouds. And there you're going to stand. And every mouth will confess, and every knee will bow and say that, yes, He is the Savior of the world. You know, brothers and sisters, don't let it slip up on you. Don't let it surprise you. You need to be making those decisions now, because when you see Him in that final day, when you see Him on that final day, it's going to be too late then. Just because you bow at your knee then and confess with your mouth then, it's going to be too late. You got to do it today. You got to do it today, not when He comes in His glory. Well, let's look at the third thing that we see. We see that not only will it be a surprise, not only will it be a revelation, it's also going to be a time of judgment. It's going to be a judgment that's going to take place. Did you see what He says here in these verses and which we read, how that He's going to come in His clouds and every knee's going to see, every eye's going to see Him, and those that even pierced Him? And He says, even so, they're going to be mourning, and He's going to wail them. Well, let's go back over to Matthew chapter 25. We've all heard sermons about this, but in Matthew chapter 25, we find there that He says what? When the Son of Man shall come in all of His glory, and all of His angels with Him, then they shall sit upon His throne of His glory, and before Him He shall gather all the nations, and He shall, what? Separate the sheep from the goats. Did He hear that? He says, when Jesus comes again, when He comes again, we see that He says that He's going to come there once again, those holy angels with Him, and He's going to sit where? On His throne. in that verse 31, what did he say he's going to do? He's going to separate. He's going to bring all the nations before him, and he's going to judge them, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Listen to me. Every one of us are going to have to give an account for what we've done in this life. Every one of us are going to be judged. Now, we see that those that are going to be judged, you've heard me talk about the judgment before. There are several different times of judgments that I believe. There's going to be that time that when you die, automatically you're judged. Is your name in the book or not? And you're going to be sent to heaven or hell. Then there's going to be that judgment of we as Christian people, by what we did in this life, we're going to receive our rewards. We're going to give an account of what we have done. And then there's going to be that great white throne judgment, that final judgment, where Satan himself and all of his followers and those who were not written in that book of life, whose names have been blotted out, he says they're going to be cast where? They're going to be cast in that lake of fire and brimstone, in that place of eternal torment. There's going to come a time of judgment. There's going to become a time of separation. And brothers and sisters, there's only two places. There's only two that that's going to be. Either you're going to be a sheep or you're going to be a goat. Either you're going to have life or you're going to have death. Either you're going to have a blessing or you're going to have curse. You are going to have either a life eternally blissed or either you're going to be in torment for eternity. There's only two. When it comes down to judgment, there's not going to be give you door number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, there's only two. And you're going to be judged accordingly. You're either a sheep or you are a goat. You're either going to be a wheat or a tare. You remember when they said that the enemy came in and planted tares amongst the wheat, and when the worker saw it, they said, do you want us to go and pull up the tares right now? What did he say? No, you don't do it right now. Because see, when I come back, when the harvest is done, when I come back, he says, well, I'll separate the wheat from the tares. But if you try to do it now, it'll disrupt the wheat. And so what we're going to do is we'll wait till that judgment day. Listen, when Jesus comes again, when he comes in that clouds, and when he comes back to this earth, brothers and sisters, he's going to set up his throne, and he's going to judge the sheep from the goats. Now, if you remember in that chapter 25 of Matthew, what did he say? He's going to say he's going to judge them. How's he going to judge them? He's going to say, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison. You came to visit me. I was sick and you ministered unto me. And it says, they're going to say, but Lord, when did we see you like that? And what did he say? If you've done it unto the least of one of mine, you've done it unto me. But then he's going to look to those on his left hand, those that are goats, and he's going to say, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me something to drink. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was in prison, you didn't care. I was sick, you didn't try to minister to me. And he's going to say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Listen to me. Jesus is coming again. He came once, and he's coming again. He was, he is, and he is to come. And he's coming, and when he does, it's not going to be some baby in a manger. Not going to be some weak little loving sweet baby in a manger. But he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will sit up on his throne, and he will judge the world. All nations before him, he will judge each and every one of us. Well, then let's look at the fourth thing that it says about his coming. In that verse 7, he says, when he comes, what? It will be a time of what? Mourning. Did you hear that? They will be wailing. That's what he said. Look at verse 7 once again. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. They shall be mourning. They shall be wailing because of his return. Now, why is that? You know, why is it going to be such a time of mourning and wailing? Well, it says they that pierced him. Did you see that? The eyes of those that pierced him, they're going to see him. And it says they're going to be a time of mourning. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, it talks about those that pierced him, those that killed him, Their eyes are going to be, they're going to see him, and they're going to be mourning. They're going to be wailing. Because, why? Because they have killed the Messiah. Because now their eyes have been opened. It has been revealed unto them who Jesus really is. So guess what? It's too late. It's too late. It's just like those 10 virgins. They waited too late. They can't get in the door. There's not a time of rejoicing. There's time of wailing. It's been revealed unto them just what they did, who Jesus really was, and how wrong they have been. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 30, it says, "Then shall the tribes of the earth shall what? Shall mourn." It talks about no man knows the hour. We talked about that a while ago. No man knows the time when he's coming. It's going to be a surprise to a lot of people. But when he does come, he's coming, as it was in the day of Noah. But what's going to happen? Their laughter is going to be turned to mourning. Their joy is going to be turned into mourning, because they're going to understand that they have missed the boat. They're going to understand that they have made the biggest mistake in their life. Did you hear that? If you're not ready when Jesus comes again, you're going to be made the biggest mistake of your life. Now, you know, I have people a lot of times say, "Well, I don't believe none of that, and I don't believe all that's going to happen, and I don't believe that." And so I always ask them, I say, "Okay, let's say you don't believe it. Let's say you don't believe Jesus is coming back. Let's say you don't believe there's anything to salvation and having to know Jesus. And let's say you're right. And I believe in Jesus. I know that he's real. I know that he died for my sins. I know that he's coming again. And I want to be ready." And so let's say you're right and there's nothing to it. We're just going to die and that's it. Well, if that's the case, then what's it going to hurt if I believe in Jesus? What difference is it going to make if I trust in Jesus? If there's really nothing to it, and I really trust in him, and if I die and I'm just going to go to dirt like you say, it's not going to make any difference. But then let me ask you the question. If I'm right and there is something to it, and we better be ready, because there is going to be a time of judgment. Every eye is going to be open. Every mouth's going to confess, and every knee's going to bow. If I'm right and you don't make that decision, then look what a big difference it's going to make. That means you're going to spend eternity in hell. But if all this doesn't matter anyway, then what difference is it going to make in my life anyway? But because I know it's true, I know God's word is true. He came once, he's coming again. And brothers and sisters, there's going to be great mourning amongst those who were not ready. Well, let's look at the last thing. The last thing I said, just as there's going to be a great time of mourning, there's going to be a great time of rejoicing. You know, brothers and sisters, I look and even hasten to that day that Jesus comes back. I'm ready. I'm ready for him to come back. And you know, and I used to say, I wish he'd come right now. But then, you know, I think about all the lost people in the world who are not ready. And you know, I used to say, "Jesus, just come on back. All my children are saved, my grandchildren. You know, everything's great. We'd all go to heaven together." But then I got thinking, how many families are not can't say that? How many families can't say that? See, I'm going to rejoice when he comes. It may catch me by surprise, but I'm going to be like those five wise virgins. I'm going to be ready when he comes. And I want to see him. I want to see him. You know, Brother Wicker used to say, I've heard him give this testimony when he was preaching in revivals. And I've heard him say, you know, that every morning he gets up, he walks out on his porch and he looks up to heaven and he says, "Lord, is this going to be the day? Is this going to be the day that you come? Is this going to be the day that you're going to be here?" You know, can we look at this in 2023? Could we say, "Lord, is this going to be the day? Is this going to be the year that you're going to come?" Are you going to rejoice? Are you going to rejoice because you know you're going to a place where every tear is going to be wiped away? There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death, because you know you're going to be with God in that place called heaven. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither have I labored in vain." Did you hear that? He says, "I'm holding forth the word of life. I'm holding forth the word of God. I'm living according to that word so that I may be able to do what? Rejoice in the day of Christ." In other words, when Christ comes again, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be like those sheep, not like those goats. those sheep that were brought into the fold. I'm going to be like that servant that heard his master say, what? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done. It's going to be a time of rejoicing. But brothers and sisters, for the unwise, for the unprepared, for the unready, it's going to be that time of mourning. It's going to be terrible. But I know that I have not run in vain. I know that I have not labored in vain. I've been preaching the word for over almost 50 years now, 46 years just pastoring and not counting the years that I preached before. I got a church. You know, I know that what I've done has not been in vain. I know that I have not labored in vain, that giving my life to the Lord, I'm going to be able to rejoice one day when he comes again. What about you? He came once, he's coming again. Are you ready for his coming? Are you ready? Are you going to be one rejoicing in that time? Or are you going to be caught unaware, unprepared? And you're going to be caught up in those that pierced him and killed him. And you're going to be mourning. Don't wait. Get ready today. Find Jesus as your Lord and Savior today so that you can be ready for his coming. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we do know your word is true, that we do know you are coming and you're coming soon. So, Lord, help us to be ready. Help the world to get ready. Lord, we know that so many of them don't have a clue about what we try to talk to them about. Help them to be more receptive to it. Give us opportunities as Christian people to warn people and to tell people, just as Noah did, just as others did, just as the prophets did. Lord, help them to hear your word. But Lord, we know so many are turning a deaf ear. But I pray this morning, if there's one listening to this sermon, that Lord, today would be the day that they would decide to make their lives ready, that they'll accept you as Lord and Savior, that they too can rejoice in your coming. Because we know you came once and you're coming again. Amen.